Hello, welcome to the Hoop Collective Podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we're doing on Sunday evening. The NBA is done for Sunday. We decided to wait for, I think there was 13 games today. And wanted to see what the lay of the land was because it's always changing. No games on Monday to get out of the way of the NCAA championship game. So we have a little breather here, then a sprint to the finish. Joining me from New York City is Tim Bonteps.
Hello, guys.
I can't believe there was 13 games today. You go to a game 85% of the days of the season. You didn't go to one.
Actually, I was at two different games today. Went to pregame at Jazz Nets to have a conversation with Larry Markkinen, and then I went to watch the Knicks qualify for the playoffs. So
that was I thought the Knicks were on the road in Washington.
Hardest working man at ESPN right there, baby.
I thought the Knicks were on the road in Washington this morning, and I looked at the schedule and said, oh, the Knicks are playing here. I need to go cover their getting into the playoffs. I was going to go to Jazz Nets, which wound up being a great game, but instead I was at the Knicks coronation instead.
Is that the only base? So basically, I think the Cavs who won against the joining us from Dallas, Texas, joining us from Dallas, Texas is Mr. Band McMahon.
Howdy, partners. I was wondering if I was going to get a little introduction so I could participate.
Anyway, is really the only series that's kind of locked in is pretty much Philly Cleveland. I think Cleveland, who beat Indiana on Sunday, their magic number to clinch four is one.
Knicks Cleveland.
What did I say? Yes. Philly Cleveland.
You said Philly. That's
late.
Okay.
It's late.
We know what you meant.
Philly got smashed by Milwaukee tonight. But first, the action on Sunday. A lot of things went the Lakers' way on Sunday. Doesn't mean they're going to go the Lakers' way for the rest of the week.
Oh,
a lot
of things went the Lakers' way. Don't back off your parade plans. Come on. Twirl the baton and lead the way. Here we go.
Specifically, Minnesota got stunned at home by Portland. I mean,
the tank Blazers accidentally won a game, 19.5-point underdogs. That is now the biggest. I saw our ESPN Stats and Info folks said it's the biggest NBA upset in like 30 years. You thought the Mavs losing as 16-point favorites at home to the Hornets was bad. At least this one's not going to cost the Wolves a play-in spot. But woof, woof, woof.
Well, there were five teams all around the Lakers, both in front and behind them, that played on Sunday. The Mavericks, the Jazz, the Warriors, the Thunder, and the Wolves.
Okay, we can stop talking about the Jazz, okay?
Well, okay, but whatever. That's fair. All right, so
and
fine.
Take the Jazz. For that matter.
Well, we couldn't stop talking about it because the Thunder keep losing. Anyway, all those teams lost. Yep. And the Lakers won, and especially the Warriors in front of them, who were in Denver, but Jokic didn't play. Third missed game with a calf issue, which is interesting as we think about the MVP. But we're going to leave that alone for the time being. The point is that right now, the Lakers are tied in the loss column. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got 38 losses with the Clippers, Warriors, and Lakers, and the Pelicans all tied in the loss column.
What a finish to that Warriors-Nuggets game. I know that Wendy really enjoyed watching that.
Let me tell you what happened.
Dude, Clay had a clean look. Back rim. Got another look. I think, was it Bruce Brown who got the block shot?
It was Tim or Gordon, I think. I wasn't sure.
Gamecast like I was, you know, like I didn't have cable. So before we get into the Lakers, which you'll notice Bontemps hadn't said a word because he didn't want to talk about the Lakers.
But just been talking for 3 minutes straight about all these things
that
didn't actually impact what the Lakers.
This is what, doesn't impact the Lakers when five teams around them lose and they win?
No. One team lost.
It's a four-way tie for the Bulls losing. It doesn't matter. That's okay.
It's the Hoop Collective with Brian Windhorst. It ain't with Tim Bontemps.
No, you're right.
I was letting him.
Anyway, I'm watching the Mavs Hawks today. Mavericks Hawks. Dallas, 800 miles away. Atlanta, at least 1,000 miles away. Maybe it's 900. I don't know. It goes overtime. You know, we got all kinds of stuff happening in that game. We got Mavericks guys missing free throws. We got Kyrie getting frozen out in the fourth quarter. I mean, this, or in overtime, I should say. It's fascinating. And then all of a sudden, bam, this program is blocked in your area. I say,
hey,
how is that possible? I already couldn't watch the Thunder in my area. I already couldn't watch the Wizards in my area. I'm watching NBA TV.
Why can't you watch Atlanta, the Wizards?
What did I say? The Wizards? Because I'm really in trouble if I said the Wizards.
You did say the Wizards.
Jesus,
the Warriors. Christ. You meant the Warriors. No. Nuggets.
Well,
you anyway. Could just move to a city where an NBA team is instead of living in a city where the three teams are blacked out. But
anyway,
that's a choice.
Hawks, Mavericks blacked out on my screen. Why would the Hawks and Mavericks be blacked out? Because it bled into the beginning of the scheduled beginning of the Warriors and Nuggets game, and I'm not allowed to watch the Nuggets either. And so even though it's 2023, even though we have all this technology, even though there's a new CBA and all this stuff, still not smart enough to figure out that I cannot watch that game. So I got to follow these games on freaking Gamecast. And yeah, I know there's illegal streams that I could watch. I work for a cable company. I don't advocate looking for illegal streams. And I paid for freaking League Pass. I should be able to watch the freaking product of these teams that are not in my,
this is why,
you know, not within 500 miles of me.
I will say this, Wendy, they were kind of looking out for you, not letting you watch all of the Mavs Hawks game. Cause my eyeballs still ache. Both teams were bad in that game.
Like, two teams attempting to lose that game. No one was attempting to win it.
No. That's the thing. They were both actually trying to win and just weren't capable. Like it went an extra 5 minutes because nobody was capable of winning that game.
That is what I was saying, but okay.
You said they were trying to lose.
Anyway.
That was the point I was making, but thank you.
The Lakers are 14-7 since the trade. I know that they beat Houston on Sunday.
But the last time they played Houston,
they lost. So the Lakers wake up on Monday morning and Tuesday, since there's no games on Monday, headed into a huge game on Wednesday against the Clippers, where the winning team will have significant edge in getting into the top six. I know you don't like to talk about the Lakers, Bontemps, and normally I don't either, but I think that it is.
Well, you've wanted to talk about the Lakers every pod for the past 2 months.
No.
So.
Listen,
because I see what's going on here.
I'll say this. When the Lakers are in the thick of things, I'm cool talking about them. I think we shouldn't spend a whole lot of time talking about 11 seeds. So, the Mavericks are the ones that are out of the conversation.
There's certainly plenty to
talk about the Lakers.
There's certainly plenty to talk about the Lakers right now. I'm glad we got to the actual important part, like 8 minutes into the filibuster, because this game on Wednesday is going to have huge ramifications. As of right now, with these four teams tied, the Warriors, the Clippers, the Lakers, and the Pelicans, if they end up tied at the end of the regular season, what order they end up in is going to come down to this game on Wednesday night. If the Clippers win the game, the Pelicans will be fifth, the Clippers will be sixth, the Lakers will be seventh, and the Warriors will be eighth. And if the Lakers win, the Lakers will be fifth, the Pelicans will be sixth, the Clippers will be seventh, and the Warriors will be eighth. So this game, to your point about one of these teams finishing in the top six, you know, certainly whoever wins that game, if they win out, they're going to be in the top six for sure. We'll run through a bunch of games that are going to have pretty significant playoff implications this week, because you've got two teams battling for something. That's one of the biggest ones of the whole week, because, you know, even though these teams in the West play and none of them are that formidable, obviously, if you can lock up a top six seed, not have to be in it, that's a pretty massive thing, especially if we're talking about the Clippers with, you know, trying to get Paul George back, and the Lakers with guys that certainly could use some rest, and LeBron and AD. I mean, that extra week off would be pretty massive.
More Hoop Collective podcast after this.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, but nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, hoodie teenagers, They're also kicking raccoons. You name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help you find a winning formula for success. And you'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. Like President Obama, who breaks down his bracket and talks about how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts. Well, what I'm afraid of happening is that there's going to be an unfair situation in the last few days of the season. Now granted, we will, you know, let's just be honest. We've had 4 or 5 months. It's not all really about this game, but there's some teams that are going to rest guys and some teams that are going to have a significant advantage. For example, after the Clippers play the Lakers on Wednesday, their final two games are against the Blazers, who are full on tanking. They did win in Minnesota today, but are full on tanking. And then their last game is against the Suns, who the Suns are in pretty good position to clinch fourth. I don't know if the Suns, by the way, haven't lost with Durant in the lineup yet. They beat the Thunder in Oklahoma City. I don't even know who's going to potentially play in that game. So the Clippers would really be in good position if they could win that game, because they would have a decent position to finish the season.
Good position? Good position meaning what?
Good position that they, well, first off, they're playing the Blazers. That's good position. And right. Potentially playing the Suns.
The Lakers are playing the Suns and the Jazz. Both those teams, if they win that game,
But the difference between playing the Suns in the last game of the season and the second to last game of the season could be pretty big.
I would say there's basically going to be no difference.
I thought you were talking about good position to finish sixth, because Wendy is on the record saying that the Sacramento Kings are cupcakes. Just gobble them up, lick the icing off your fingers in the first round and keep on moving, baby. Yes, Wendy said right. It. He said it loud and clear. Those Kings heard you. You want to see those Kings in the first round.
The Suns are 3 losses up on these teams. They're going to have fourth place locked up by Friday. So the schedule is even. It all comes down to this game Wednesday. Whoever wins that game is going to be, I mean, honestly, the Suns will have a choice to make, frankly, because it'll sort of be up to them in some ways to decide who they want to play, which would be very interesting. Because they won't have any reason to actually play either of those games.
Who do you want to play if you're them?
I mean, honestly, I don't think
if I'm them, I want to play not the Warriors. That would be my goal, is to play.
Yeah,
not
the Warriors. I would want to play the Clippers. I'd want to play the Clippers because you're probably not going to get George. Full strength. Right.
Yeah, that's true.
I want to play the team that's got its second best player likely unavailable for that series.
By the way, just that's real true. Quick on the Clippers. They had a back-to-back Friday and Saturday. Friday they played in Memphis. Saturday they played in New Orleans. They lost both games. They were up by 20 points on Friday in Memphis in the first half. And then Memphis made a comeback on them and took a small lead going into half. I believe Memphis was up by 4. And then the second half happened. And Kawhi Leonard, who had played in the first half and played pretty well, just didn't play. Mm-hmm. And it was explained to the media that the reason that Kawhi wasn't going to play in the second half was that he was going to, in fact, play the next night in New Orleans. Ooh. And for the first time since he tore his ACL in that playoff series in 2021, he was going to play in a back-to-back. Now, this is unusual on numerous fronts, is that why you would play in a back-to-back after all this time. And that you would play in that back-to-back by playing a half. but a couple of the Clippers players were on the record saying they had no idea that was actually the plan. Russell Westbrook, this is what he said, quote, "I don't know if anybody knew."
Ty Lue? That's a pretty important
Ty question. Lue said, "I'm not talking about it no more."
Well,
that was his exact.
It sounds like if he knew, he wasn't a big fan.
Norm Powell said, "I don't think we knew that, but it is what it is." So that was another chapter in the odd Kawhi, you know, just kind of doing whatever it seems like he wants to do and not always seeming having everybody on the same page. I guess it's not imperative for the players
everybody,
to know.
Everybody on the same page. But, nobody else even has the book.
Well, so anyway, I don't know what you make of that, but the Clippers lost both those games, and yet they start this week still in the tie for fifth with their destiny sitting right in their hands. So I guess, you know, no big deal. As for the Lakers, they remain one of the I have to check all the numbers to get the update. There's so many games today. They came into the weekend the number one defensive team in the league since they did the Westbrook trade. And not just for the players that they got, but for the players that they sent away. And Anthony Davis is continually having spectacular games. LeBron is putting up okay numbers, but this is really a Anthony Davis production right now. As LeBron tries to sort of, you know, get some sort of rhythm. He had 40 on 15 of 20 shooting.
Man, imagine if he played against the Rockets last time out.
And Austin Reeves got to the foul line 10 more times. All the guy does is get to the freaking foul line. LeBron went to the foul line once.
he hadn't earned the reputation that Austin Reeves has over the years.
Clearly. D'Angelo Russell is back from his hip injury, but he didn't do much. But I'm not going to take too much into that game. But, you know, Anthony Davis putting up huge numbers. I mean, look, if this was a normal year, I wouldn't be talking about the Lakers. Also,
if it was a normal year, we'd be talking about the Lakers potentially being champions as the 8th seed anyway. That has nothing to do with anything else.
But see, here's the thing. They're not an 8th seed. They're an 8th seed because they played the first 50 games with the BS roster. Because
they played 82 games. Imagine that. Like everybody else.
Well, actually, they're not an 8th seed because as of this exact moment, they're actually a 7th seed.
That's true, but they're tied in the loss column for the 5th seed. They can, you know, when you're tied in the loss column, you control your destiny. I'm just saying, if you want to call them a 7th seed or a 5th seed, an 8th seed, whatever, they're 7 games over 500 without LeBron for most of it in the last 20 games. In the Western Conference, that is a meaningful number.
It is. And they also have played, they feasted on a pretty soft stretch of schedule. There you go.
That's all fair. I'm just saying, like, if you're disregarding them, you're making a mistake. That's my opinion.
I would agree with that. And I would say that when they made the trade, Bontemps, you and I basically said, so what? Maybe they'll be a play-in team. They've been better than that. Against the soft stretch schedule, all that stuff in there. When they made the trade, we said, okay, whoop-de-damn-doo, maybe they'll be a play-in team. And then when LeBron went
which
down,
they still technically are.
Well, I know, but, like, we were thinking 9-10 seed maybe. And then when LeBron went down, we were like, let's see if they're even good enough for him to want to come back late in the season. So they've exceeded all those expectations. I will give them that.
Yeah, they have. And a lot of other teams have completely backed up, right? I mean, Dallas has completely backed up. You know, the Clippers have fallen off and not played to the level. I mean, there are 500 teams.
The Jazz gave them players.
It's a trade deadline. Who did? All right. Yeah. I mean, the Jazz certainly are a team that would be in the mix if they had been, you know, I think it's safe to say playing as hard as possible through the tape. They would be they'd certainly be in 10th at minimum.
The Jazz opted out of the deadline.
Had losses. Yeah. I mean, the Mavs have had some, or the Wolves have had some terrible losses. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the loss today to Portland. There's been a lot of games that, you know, these other teams have dropped and the Lakers haven't, and the Lakers do deserve a ton of credit for that. Now, at the same time, we could still be sitting here in a few days, and if the Lakers don't win Wednesday and they don't win Friday, they could be 9th. So, you know, for as far as they've gotten to this point, They still haven't really done that much. And this, you know, they've got a chance though this week. Like you said, they put themselves in a position where if they win those two games, and especially they win the game on Wednesday, they're going to have a chance to be fifth or sixth. And, you know, we could finally get LeBron and KD in the first round, which would be pretty juicy. We could get the Lakers against Sacramento on the side of the bracket with Memphis, which then our network will be saying that they're going to win the championship and win the West because it's all laid out for them. Everybody will be right in the making the parade floats.
I don't think that is seeding specific, those predictions. By the way, the difference between the 9 seed and the 7 seed for the Lakers, the 9 seed, Winnie's going to predict that they'll win 18 in a row. The 7 seed, he'll only predict 17 straight wins.
By the way, the Kings
have put themselves in a position to do that. So
the Kings have had a spectacular year and will be formidable, but the Kings defensively have a weak spot, as evidenced by the fact that they gave up 130 something points in regulation to Sacramento or to San Antonio today at home. So that's all. I'm just saying that, you know, they are an awesome offense. They may win win 4-1 against whoever the sixth seed is and put up 137 every game. But, you know, defense, I yield to defense when I look at the postseason, and so does a lot of people who've been around for a while. That's all I'm going to say about the Kings. It's
okay. First of all, I am tired of you just bad mouthing the, they only gave up 123 in regulation.
Oh,
only 123 in regulation to the Spurs, and then another 19 in overtime. 19 points in 5 minutes. That's a lot of points.
I'd like to apologize. I thought they gave up 129.
No. Just they held them under 20 in overtime, though.
By the way, like San Antonio was missing some of their key players too. I mean,
San Antonio told all their good players you're not allowed to play anymore this year. Both of them.
Anyway, okay, so I'm just saying Lakers in fifth in the loss column. Keep an eye on that.
Okay, can I ask you, who the heck is Julian, and I don't even know how to pronounce his last name. Looks like champagne, but that ain't how you say it.
I think it's Justin.
No.
Champagne-y. That's how you say it.
It's Julian. The man had this... Whoever that guy is had 26 points in 28 minutes against the Kings today.
You're right. It's Julian. I thought it was Justin. I apologize.
Well, a guy who you don't even know his first name had 26 points in 28 minutes, and I don't even know how to say his last name.
Doug McDermott.
So I think it's fair to question. I do think it's fair to question the Kings' defense being playoff ready. I don't think that that's going out on a limb.
And by the way, in this game, Sabonis played 39 minutes, Harrison Barnes 37, Keegan Murray 35, De'Aaron Fox 38, Kevin Herter 36. They played their normal guys full minutes.
I know the Kings broadcast crew loves some rim protection, so I'm sure they're on it.
All right, so the Suns won in Oklahoma City in a good win for them. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander put up 39 because he's just spectacular. But still, the Suns, when Durant has played, are undefeated. I know it's only been, I believe, 6 games, but it is what it is. They've won 5 in a row overall. He had 35 on 21 shots. They shot 57%, which is pretty much what they've been doing with him in the lineup. I think they had one game that he came back this last week in his first game. They didn't shoot the ball that great. But every other game, I think they've been well over 50% with him in the lineup. They have distanced themselves and have gotten themselves in good position, as Bontemps mentioned, for getting that 4 seed. They are, you know, trying to pull something off that is pretty ridiculous, which is to basically have a core together for less than 10 games and go into a playoff series where they're probably going to have a formidable first round opponent and pull this off. But, they continue to look very impressive when Durant is there. They continue to be able to generate just so many possessions where they get good looks. By the way, I thought something special that the Thunder organization did today that Monty Williams acknowledged. Monty's late wife, today was her birthday, and the Thunder held her seats that she always sat in when she was going to Thunder games, when Monty was an assistant there, when she died in that car crash. They held her seats open today to commemorate her and her birthday, which is just, you know, Monty just was, he got choked up talking about it. Just, you know, very class move by the Thunder organization. But anyway, then Durant went out and cooked them. But, you know, Bontemps, I think the Suns, you know, in a mixed bag that we're trying to figure out what matters and what doesn't. I think the Suns are starting to show a little bit of notice that that this might actually have a chance to come together.
Honestly, I don't really think that's true, only other than the standpoint that Kevin Durant's healthy. Because, look, they're 6-0, but here's who they beat. Charlotte, Chicago, Dallas, Minnesota, Denver without Jokic, and the Thunder. And, like, they're 6-0, yes, but, like, we're not really going to get a chance to see them play one of the teams we're talking about. Now, maybe they'll really go all out and play the Lakers and Clippers this weekend, but... like, yeah, we're going to, not only are they going to go into the playoffs with like 7 or 8 games, but how many do we feel like are really going to show what a playoff series is going to look like with them? Like, this is, you mentioned how unprecedented it is. They're going to go into the playoffs basically with a new group that will be untested in any kind of real meaningful game and have to immediately play, you know, the Warriors, the Lakers, the Clippers, like, if they can pull this off, it'll be truly incredible. Because I know everybody's just said, well, they've got Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton. They're the favorites. And given how the rest of the West looks, I can understand why people would say that. But, like, this is truly an unprecedented situation, that the way they're trying to pull this off. And we just haven't really gotten a chance to – like, it would have been – like, they played Golden State. They played Milwaukee. They played Philly. Like, I wish we would have got a chance, to have – Kevin Durant on the court, but B, just to see him play some of these high level teams, because they're going to basically walk into the playoffs without having played any of them and then just immediately having to be at the highest level right off the bat. It's a completely wild situation.
Wendy, how's that for some urine soaked wet blanket coverage? Oh my goodness.
Well, listen, I mean, what am I taking this away from them playing the Nuggets without Jokic and playing
the
Hornets and playing the Thunder? That's all.
You make a fine point, but what you take away from it is, like, Kevin Durant's back and he's still Kevin Durant. And today it's an easy 35-5-5. I'm stealing this from somebody on Twitter, but I don't remember who put it out there. I did double check it, so I guess I can steal it. In the last 25 games KD's played, going back to Brooklyn, his teams are 23-2.
Seems good.
Yeah, I think that is, you know, I think we can say that Kevin Durant is going to make a difference in a playoff series. You can go back to that. Well, didn't make a difference against the Celtics last year. Last year's Celtics, you're not going to find them in this year's Western Conference.
Yeah, so I wanted to see what the Suns' defense was performing like since the trade, because obviously in that trade they lost Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson. They didn't have Jay Crowder, obviously, but you know, they weren't going to get anything for Jay Crowder, because they were, I think, fifth or sixth in the league before that trade. In the games since the trade deadline, most of which have been without Durant. So I just wanted to look at what they're piecing together. They're 9th in the league in defense in that span. The teams that have been better than them in the West have been the Grizzlies, who've been the top 3 all year. And the Pelicans are the only 2 teams in the West. Oh, and the Lakers, who are number 1, who I mentioned before. So their defense hasn't, like what you said, Bontemps, is true. The schedule has not concluded a gauntlet. But I feel confident that they're going to figure out ways to score. I think their question was, can they still defend? And they have been still defending in the game since they lost those guys. And by the way, they had other injuries in there as well. You know, in Ayton, I know Ayton's not a wall defensively, but their backup centers are stepped down. And Ayton missed a handful of games in there with the hip injury. So if you're looking to buoy the Suns' chances is that they still have figured out ways to be very good defensively. And Durant is a plus defender, especially.
Well, and their starting five with Durant is defense rating 95.9. Now we're talking about 95 minutes, but
right.
Like Durant is what their, is he their best defender? Second best defender? It's a pretty short list before you get to KD.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he can defend the basket and also, you know, be good enough to switch on most players, yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, they have, you know, Torrey Craig is a good defender. You know, that's, you know, Josh Okogie is a good defender. Like, you know, it's a step down from Bridges that you're playing those guys the minutes that Bridges had, but I mean, those guys aren't terrible. And I'm Bontemps is not saying anything because he doesn't agree. But
well, Bontemps is
what do you want? I mean, what do you want me to do? You're speaking. I'm not gonna letting me finish.
Listen, those Bontemps players, would never interrupt.
Those guys are not I don't think those guys are very good. I do think this loss today for Golden State is a pretty significant one for the Suns. I don't like that matchup at all for Phoenix. They have nobody to guard Steph. I think the Warriors have guys to at least throw at Booker and Durant. They're not going to obviously stop Booker and Durant, but they have a lot more options to at least wear those guys down than I think Phoenix does for Steph. And I do think that when you talk about them playing the Clippers without Paul George, even a matchup with the Lakers, potentially, I think they match up better. And you mentioned DeAndre Ayton. Part of the reason that I don't think there's much of an issue for them being in the Denver side of the bracket, DeAndre Ayton has always guarded Nikola Jokic arguably as good or better than anybody in the league. And I think they match up really well with Denver because I don't think Denver could take advantage of the issues they have defensively. And I think that they don't really have, I think, great options to go at Booker and Durant. So I think this loss today, despite all Golden State's issues this year, Golden State ends up, you know, 6-7-8 in the West, assuming they make the playoffs if they're in the play-in. I think that really is a big benefit to the Suns. And I do think, I would say I would rat, like, I think, I don't remember if it was which one of you, I think it might've been you, Brian, said I'd want to avoid Golden State in the first round. If I'm looking at these teams in this pod, if I'm the Suns, that's definitely the team I'd want to play the least. And the fact that they lost this game and they lose the tiebreakers, if they're tied with just about any of those teams, I think that's a really big development for Phoenix today.
It's hard to win a tiebreaker when you can't win on the road the entire year.
Yep, it's true.
It's hard to make the playoffs when you can't win on the road, but the Warriors are going to manage to do that.
You're not kidding.
At least we think.
That's also true.
Yeah. So Golden State, should we be worried about Jokic's calf? I don't know. I don't like that. I don't like him missing all these games. He doesn't miss games.
Do we think that if it was tighter for the one seed that he'd be sitting right now?
I mean, probably not. But it's still not great though. Like it's not ideal to have. I mean, calf issues are tricky. I mean, if it had been just one or two games, okay, maybe that's. Maybe it's just we're going to give him some time off. But you miss three games in a row this point in the season. It's at least, I think, a concern. And I will say, you look at that game today, you know, obviously there's been a lot of talk about how Denver's played without Jokic this year. But you look at this game and Michael Porter had 29-11. Jamal had 26-8. Jamal had some huge threes late in this game.
Also played him 41 minutes, which is an indication that he's feeling okay.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like Jamal's knee coming back from the ACL, that's been a question all year. And look, obviously there's a lot of questions about what Denver's going to do in the playoffs. As I've said before, I think they have more pressure on them than any team in the league. And Jokic on any compared to any of these stars in the league, when you look at the ramifications of them maybe not having a deep run this year when they've been the best team in the West, when they have a dominant home court advantage, when they are going to be the clear number one seed. But if they're going to get where they want to go, they need Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. to play like they did today. And Jamal Murray in particular, he's got to be something close to the version of what he was in the bubble when they made the conference finals. And if he plays like he did today, then they're going to feel like they've got a chance to beat anybody in the playoffs. And that I thought was pretty significant that he had a game like this against you know, a Warriors team that had everybody available was obviously trying to win this game.
Yeah, because for a little while there, it looked like, okay, hey, Jamal Murray's back to being that guy. And then he dipped for a little bit. So certainly I think if he's finishing the regular season strong, has a, you know, good rhythm going to the playoffs, that is a big deal.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I haven't spent much time thinking about what Bontemps just said, which is the Denver matchup against the Suns defensively. Because the Nuggets have a lot of versatile defenders, but you know the Suns are just going to put Jokic in pick and rolls. They're going to bring Ayton up, and they're going to make Jokic move, and those guys are going to cause a problem. I hadn't really thought about it.
Gordon, you know, Denver, takes Durant, KCP takes Booker, but yeah, it's about putting Jokic in as much of the action as possible.
Well, look, we'll see if we get there too. I mean, like I said, that was a pretty massive win today for Denver. I thought if Golden State won this game, you know, going through these final few days of the season, I thought there was, you know, they play OKC, they play Sacramento, they play Portland. So they're probably, you know, they should, you know, they play Sacramento in, that's going to be an interesting game. Warriors at Kings on Friday. Kings probably not going to have a lot to play for, but could have a say in potentially who they get. And if Golden State wins these three games and stays at 38 losses, they're going to end up ahead of either the Clippers or the Warriors or the Lakers, because they obviously have to play each other. So if they win out, they still have a decent chance to wind up in the top six, could also wind up sixth playing Sacramento in the first round. And that might come down to whether the Lakers can, or the Warriors can actually win a road game in Sacramento on Friday.
Sacramento, does it count as a road game if you can take a bus? what's their record in games where they can take a bus? Maybe the problem is their plane.
Their remaining games are Thunder at home, at Kings, at Blazers. If they have to win that game next Sunday against the Blazers, I like their chances.
By the way, Stats Williams has also informed me there could be a six-way tie at 41-41 if we get there. So I have no idea what the permutations of that would be, but
well, I can tell you this,
be the, interesting.
I can tell you this, the Mavericks won't be involved in that because they got 42 losses already. What a season.
Man. Mavericks, JaVale McGee and Christian Wood both missed free throws in the last what, McMahon?
Last 2 seconds.
No, yeah. Hey, listen though, JaVale McGee by far his best stint, best game with the Mavericks, and in both of his stints combined. And then he had a quote. He had some kind of quote about
that. I will read the quote. It's one of the all-time quotes.
Yes,
JaVale. This is on JaVale going 1-for-2 at the line, down one with 0.4 seconds to go. Quote: in hindsight, that's what movies are made of. Not playing the whole season, then coming down to hitting those two free throws for the win. Unfortunately, I missed one of them, and it went to OT. Yeah, that movie's going straight to DVD. It's not coming out.
Bontemps said the movie was going to be called Mid-Level Crisis.
You said that.
I would never say something rude about the Mavericks.
Okay, yeah. Let's relax. It was a good line by Ben McMahon, the one time he's trying not to take credit for something.
I also like JaVale McGee showing his age a little bit, thinking that they're still DVDs. It's still just a terrific.
Well, that's how bad this movie is. It's going to something nobody watches anymore.
Well, I just read the quote. I didn't see the video of him giving it, because I would love to see the tenor at which he delivered this quote, where he said, "Unfortunately, the hard pivot."
And a lot of unfortunate things about Dallas this season. Certainly the last two months, one and four
with your season on the line, coming off of that home loss to the Hornets. Who knows? Maybe that protest will go their way. We'll see.
That was a genuine great line.
Hey, I just realized the Mavericks still do have a chance to be in a tie with all these teams with 41 losses.
Tell Stats there could be seven teams at 41.
The protest is pending. Question authority. The t-shirt's been worn. We got a chance here.
Given what happened with that Luka technical last Monday in Indiana, I would say to quote KG, anything is possible. By the way, I had stats looking up. The Lakers have had the eighth easiest schedule in the league since the trade deadline. Just since we kept saying how easy their schedule was, that's what the schedule
is. And then, you know, there's some of those, like they played so-and-so without, like they played the Warriors without Steph.
I know, we could be here all night going over all that.
But they didn't have LeBron, so whatever.
I was going to say, they didn't have LeBron. They put themselves in position. Full credit to the Lakers for that. As you said, McMahon, right. We did not think they were going to do that.
After all this time looking at the West, we should look at the East. Milwaukee comes back from being the floor wiped with themselves. That's a strange way I said that. Boston wiped the floor with them.
Yes. They got their asses whooped on Thursday, and they did some ass whooping today against the Sixers.
That's right. And
the Giannis MVP campaign went quiet the other night, but we heard a lot from old Wendy today, didn't we, Bon Timms?
Sure did.
I haven't made up my mind who I'm going to vote for yet.
He just made up his mind who he ain't. Jokic? I did not. Hey, Joker ain't even on his ballot.
He'll be down to fifth.
I have immense respect for
you. Nikola, know why
Jokic,
isn't
and I voted for him.
You know why isn't
I voted for him
for Jokic,
MVP
McMahon?
In the past.
You know why he's a vote for Jokic? You know why he's a vote for Jokic? You can't watch him ever. He has no idea how he plays. Never sees him.
No,
I know anything about his game.
He sat out three games, and one thing I know about Wendy, if a guy sits out,
games played, baby.
He's out.
Start tipping over that. Start just knocking the ledger down. That's it.
Sorry, we were talking about the Bucks before I so rudely interrupted. before I pulled a Bon Timms. My bad.
Call me an old man. It wouldn't be the first time. I like guys who play defense, and I like teams who play defense. And if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down by projecting teams that play defense to do well in the postseason.
So you're going to pick the best team in the league to win the title? Is that what you're going to do?
Out on a limb. Here we go.
Going way
I don't make
predictions. He's already picked the best team in the league to win the title. He's got the Lakers parade playing.
That's right.
Well, the reason I respect what the Lakers are doing is because they have the number one defense in the last two months. So in this game, Giannis went for 33 points in 32 minutes with 14 rebounds and 6 assists. Embiid got in some foul trouble late, and that I shouldn't say late, was in the early in the fourth, late in the third. And that really made a big difference, enabled the Bucks to open up the lead. And this puts, you know, Milwaukee still doesn't have the number one seed locked down. Their magic number, I believe, is 3. But
yeah, they're 2-2 to go, and Boston has a tiebreaker.
Yeah. Getting this win.
2-4 to go.
Yeah, getting this win was a big one, even though it was on their home court and bouncing back. And although Grayson Allen suffered a sprained ankle, so we'll see what that means. But still, as a reminder, what a difficulty it is to handle Giannis. And the 76ers, they couldn't do anything with him, which is something we see all the time. And I don't think Embiid played poorly, Bon Timms. It just, you know, it wasn't his best performance, and they needed a great game from him.
I mean, look, they got off to a huge start. They shot 67% in the first half, and just, you know, you knew the Bucks are going to come out and play well in the first quarter. They had a couple days to stew over that loss to the Celtics on Thursday, and they, you know, they got a 31-15 lead. They took off early on, and they did exactly what you kind of expected them to do. But Philly got it. Philly made it interesting in the second half. Embiid got him back within 4, had a really strong third quarter. And then he went to the bench with his 4th foul late in the third quarter, and things quickly unraveled the other way. But I mean, look, like you said about two-way teams and defensive teams, it's been pretty clear for a while that, at least in my opinion, the Bucks are the best team in the league. I know they obviously didn't look very good the other night against the Celtics, but I think when their guys are healthy, when Giannis is ready to go, I think he's the best player. I think they're the best team. And I especially think with the fact that we're looking at Boston having to go through Philly, or Philly having to go through Boston in the second round, and no disrespect to the Cavs and Knicks, but that second round series for the Bucks is going to be a heck of a lot easier, you would think. You know, it's certainly setting up for Milwaukee with home court advantage to be pretty clear favorites to get out of that Eastern Conference. And it's going to be really interesting to see, given the pods coming out Monday morning, it's going to be really interesting to see tomorrow. I'll be in Philly for Celtics Sixers. And, you know, Philly got beat pretty good twice in Boston, lost a close game in Philly right after the trade deadline. You know, let's see if the Sixers can get a win in that game and show that, you know, they can, you know, sort of wipe away what's been a pretty bad matchup for the past couple of years with Boston for them. And, you know, set up what should be, assuming they both get there, a pretty juicy second round matchup.
I'm just wondering what the hell Wendy's doing. He's up there. He's stirring around.
Part of the reason I was filibustering was I was waiting for Brian to sit down.
This is embarrassing. This is not. I'm having a cramp.
I look up and Wendy's got this cool background.
Podcasting is very hard. You know, it's a very,
clearly I was just trying to wait for you to sit down because I thought something was going on with your audio, McMahon situation. Nope. Wasn't that.
No, Wendy's got this background. People on YouTube can see it. You know, it's this court.
No, this clip is not making YouTube.
Yeah, it is. And suddenly the court's wide open. It's like pushing it in transition against the Mavericks defense. All you see is wide open floor in the basket.
I may need a 30-second timeout here. Every time I sit down, it gets worse.
More Hoop Collective podcast after this.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. Oh my gosh. Scale of 1 to 10. Scale of 1 to 10. I look so strange right now.
Scale of 1 to 10.
How concerned are you about Harden, who has missed 5 games in the I think the last 5 games he's played, he's shooting 36% from the field?
I mean, the Achilles is certainly a concern. You know, but then again, he wasn't listed on the injury report Friday. I thought he played pretty well Friday. Against Toronto. I did not see the first half or really, I did get a chance to clue in on a lot of this game today because I was covering Knicks Wizards. But I mean, look, it's a concern, but you know, Philly being in the 3 seed, they're almost certain to play.
Yeah, they're locked in.
Brooklyn in the, they're basically locked in to play Brooklyn in the first round.
Yeah.
That should be a sweep. So you are at most of, at
spicy. Well, sweet,
I mean, if you want to say they're going to win, they're going to lose a game. I mean, Philly probably will kick away a game, but I mean, come on, they ought to be able to take care of business against that Nets team with, you know, Nick Claxton at 175 pounds trying to guard Joel Embiid in the paint.
Hey, Wendy, at least the bulletin board material you provide is like they got to get on a plane to get at you. Wendy's talking trash about the home team, man. I guess it's got to get on a subway to get you, but just
the Nets. I mean, listen, the Nets have had a nice stretch here to stay in the top 6 seed when it didn't look like they were going to for a minute. But
your point is, it's a layup of the series.
It's a layup of a series. They get a week off. They get a week off at the end of the season or between the end of the season and the start of the first round. In theory, they're not going to have to play Harden much this coming week if they don't want to. Obviously, they're going to want to play well in this Boston game. And they probably are going to want to play hard against Miami on Thursday to make sure they don't have Miami get to 6, if that's still possible by then. But after that, they in theory can give Harden basically a week and a half off. And if they get through that series quick, they should get more rest ahead of a Celtics series, especially if, you know, the Celtics play the Heat and that goes a little long, which I think it could if that happens. So he should get plenty of rest And as Doc Rivers said after before Friday's game, we've managed this pretty well, and he's clean from an injury standpoint. So he wasn't on the injury report. So that says to me, all right, well, then James Harden is good to go, and, you know, we'll see what he looks like on the court.
I mean, they've managed it for months, which that in and of itself is concerning. Yep. He's well into his 30s with a ton of miles on his tires. So, yep. I don't think you can just dismiss it as a concern. I agree with you what you're saying. They can, you know, they can rest him down the stretch here. You get the play-in time. You know, it shouldn't be that taxing of a first-round series. The other thing, though, is just with the Sixers, it's like maybe you can say they're due to get some good luck come playoff time on the medical front. Maybe we can. I know the USWB doesn't really operate that way, but let's spin it to a positive.
Well, listen, Joel Embiid feels good physically right now, and he, obviously they've been managing this calf thing a little bit, but all he's wanted all season was to get to the playoffs healthy and have a healthy playoff run, and knock on wood, they'll get through this next week and he'll be healthy going into the playoffs. And, you know, like you said, I just hope that we get to see them at full strength, because this is a pretty huge postseason for them on a lot of fronts.
And, you think?
Well, and let's see what they, you know, hopefully them in Boston, like, again, talk about a team with injury issues. I mean, Boston's had all kinds of stuff coming up over the past couple months. Robert Williams, Marcus Smart's missed a bunch of time with different things. Al Horford's, been in and out of the lineup some. I want to see both those teams healthy in that second round, because that's got a chance to be a pretty epic series, a pretty epic stakes. Mm-hmm. So more than anything else, I just hope we're looking at that, you know, 3-4 weeks from now with everybody ready to go for it.
One more thing I want to say about the East before we leave. The Cavs-Knicks series looks like it could be a real good one. The mm-hmm. Knicks, as you mentioned, Bontemps clinched the playoffs today. Donovan Mitchell has scored 40 points three games in a row, had another 40-point game today against the Pacers. He is absolutely killing just about every night. But the Cavs have not played the Knicks well this year. They beat them the first time they played back in October, when they had a team record for three-pointers, and Kevin Love, who's no longer with the team, made 8 threes that game. They've lost the last three times they played, including on Friday, where Julius Randle didn't play because of the ankle injury. Now, I don't know how his ankle is going to be. I would guess there's a pretty good chance Julius Randle will be ready to go for the start of that series.
Julius Randle was in a boot on the bench today. He's supposed to get reevaluated 2 days before the start of the playoffs.
I would be stunned if he doesn't play.
I didn't say he's not going to play. I say he's going to get reevaluated 2 days before the start of the playoffs. Julius, I'm sure, will be trying to play, but if you're in a boot and you're not getting reevaluated for 2 weeks, that's an ankle injury that you're probably going to be dealing with at minimum when the playoffs
start. That's true.
If you are playing, that's a significant thing.
That's true. I think he, you remember he broke his leg in his first game ever. I think it was 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. Since that injury, he has missed less than 20 games in his career until this. This will push him, I think, around that. So, but anyway, that has the Cavs have very little experience in the playoffs. Obviously, Donovan does.
Right.
Very little experience in the playoffs on their roster. They are a great home team. I think they're now 30-9 at home, or
31-9 after today.
Yeah. Yep. So one of the best home records in the league, and they'll obviously have home court.
And the Knicks are one of the best road teams in the league. The Knicks are 23-16 on the road. I mean, the reason they're not ahead of the Cavs in the standings is they're 23-17 at the Garden this year. I mean, they've really been a pretty disappointing home team. If it wasn't for that, they'd probably had well over 50 wins. They might have been pushing Philly for the 3 seed.
Well, and one of those Cavaliers home losses, you don't have to go back too far. It was March 31st, and a gentleman named Jalen Brunson went for 48 points and 9 assists in that game. That's the same Jalen Brunson who was by far the best player in the last series that Donovan Mitchell played in a Jazz uniform. By far the best player. When Luka was nursing a calf injury and sitting out, Brunson went for 41 and 31. Wasn't so good in game one when Worldwide West was was sitting courtside and, you know, doing a little bit of AAU style recruiting, which ended up paying off, at least on the Brunson front. But, you know, you've got the whole Donovan versus the Knicks. Donovan, everybody thought he was going to the Knicks. Brunson versus Donovan, and I don't know. Does Donovan guard him? I don't know who guards him. Whatever they did last week didn't work.
You know, Julius Randle had not missed a game all year until two games ago when that ankle injury. Isaac Okoro had not missed a game all year for the Cavs, and he's missed the last three games with a knee injury, which they're just calling knee soreness, which he suffered an injury during the game, twisted his knee. I don't exactly know what's going on there, but, you know, one of the reasons why the Cavs got blitzed by the Knicks last Friday was because Jared Allen was out and Isaac Okoro was out. Isaac Okoro is not going to blow you away on offense, but he is a very good defensive player. So, you know, the Cavs have an injury concern to their starting lineup as well. And he's their best perimeter defender. So,
well, look, go ahead, Tim.
I was going to say, obviously, Jared Allen is a really good defensive center. And if you have Allen and Mobley, like, you're going to have a legit rim protector on the floor at all times. So that does make a difference.
This is going to be a really interesting series because, you know, obviously Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland are two super high scoring guards, really talented, explosive scorers. And obviously the Cavs are built around them and they're two bigs, right? Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. Well, the way the Knicks play, Knicks are a big physical team also. They probably don't have quite the same high-end talent as the Cavs, but they're definitely deeper, and they've got a lot of athletic perimeter defenders that they could throw at those guys that Cleveland just doesn't really have. Between RJ Barrett, Quentin Grimes, you know, Brunson is an okay defender. Emmanuel Quick is a pretty good defender off the bench.
Josh Hart,
obviously. They've got a lot of guys that they could throw at those Cavs guys, and with Mitchell Robinson, and assuming Julius is okay, Julius Randle, Isaiah Hartenstein, they've got bigs they could throw at them inside. It's a pretty interesting matchup. And like you said, McMahon, for all the off the court stuff too, I'm really excited for that series. It's going to be really fun and really juicy. And, you know, it'll be really interesting to see how it shakes out. Cause those are two, like you mentioned, the Cavs lack of playoff experience. The Knicks don't have a lot of guys with playoff experience either. I mean, the
playoff experience that most of them have was getting embarrassed by Trae Young bowing up at Madison Square Garden.
That's true.
Now, Brunson has some from last year, but before that, Brunson's playoff experience, like, he was basically benched in Carlisle's last series with the Mavericks. At the time, and certainly in hindsight, it was a strange decision to play Trey Burke over Jalen Brunson in the game 7. But I will say Brunson is obviously a winner, though. The dude won 2 national championships at Villanova, and I think we've seen how much he meant to the Mavericks playoff run last year. You saw it when it happened. You've seen it since.
When you see the impact he's had on the Knicks. I mean, a lot of the reason why the Knicks are back in the playoffs this year is because the arrival of Jalen Brunson has allowed the rest of these guys on the team to slot in where they need to be. And everybody's kind of dropped down a rung. And it's really allowed them to play exactly the way they need to. And it's been great. By the way, for trivia, speaking of the Mavs Jalen Brunson.
Oh, I didn't know we were doing trivia.
I was going to fit it in earlier and we didn't get a chance to. So speaking of the Mavs, Wendy did cramp up.
And now to present today's trivia question, the whiz of the quiz, Tim Bontemps.
Mavs obviously in danger of missing the playoffs.
In danger. Oh, that's a nice way to put it.
Well, listen, the Thunder do have a very difficult schedule. Okay.
Stop it. Go on.
So when was the last, and obviously Houston and San Antonio are fighting for a different sort of positioning.
I know this one.
When is the last time all three Texas teams have missed the playoffs, the NBA playoffs?
Never. Not since the Mavericks were in existence in 1980.
That is correct.
Yeah, that's unfair because – like, I knew that one.
Well, I know, but I just was trying to emphasize the
situation. Speaking of tanking for Wembanyama,
we're not going to get a Texas team or a Nebraska team in the playoffs, Wendy. We're both going to have to be on the road.
Kansas City Omaha Kings haven't made the playoffs in decades. Wembanyama with a incredible play on Saturday where he missed a three-pointer. It was a step-back three. Now, granted, let me just be in fairness. The three-point line is closer in Europe than it is in the NBA. And he got his own rebound and dunked it. Put back dunk off his own missed three-pointer.
And what was Bontemps' reaction to this play? Bitching this about classic, shot selection.
I didn't want to open the door to what goes on our text chain.
I'm sorry. That's on the record.
No, listen.
Except when I say stuff that can get me in trouble.
It was an awesome play. But I am just look, I'm fascinated by Victor Wembanyama on a lot of levels, but like he's a 7'4" guy who's out on the perimeter trying to do these dribble moves and stuff. And it's just going to be fascinating to see what that looks like in the NBA. Like
he's just testing the limits of his game, dude.
What happened was
the highlight got put on the group text of Wembanyama going between his legs.
I had already seen the highlight, but it was put on the group text.
Step back, three-pointer. He was well covered. He misses it. He knew he was missing it. Obviously, he followed his shot, and he just jumped up over everybody, tip dunk. And Bontemps said, I'd really like it if he shot better than 30% on threes.
It's
one of the most amazing highlights I've seen in the last year. But okay.
Well, by the way,
the Mavs
are up to 3% odds to get Wimby. 3% odds. And by the way, they're in the 10th spot in the lottery, top 10 protected pick to the Knicks.
Yeah, that's gonna be
with the Bulls coming to town on Friday. There might be some Mavs tankapalooza by then.
That'll be really interesting to see what happens in that game. That's a pretty big game this week on a bunch of fronts. But yeah, look, he's just going to be truly fascinating to see. Because, like, look, Jonathan Givony on this pod earlier this year said he's going to walk in and be an all-star in the league right away.
I'm not ready to say that.
it's going to be fascinating to see this guy try to come in and do the stuff that he's doing in these games in Europe in the NBA as a 7'4 guy. Like, we just have not seen anybody trying to do this kind of stuff.
Wait, you're not
shooting 31% on three-pointers this season.
When you say you're not ready to say he'll be an all-star, you mean as a rookie?
Oh, yes, yeah. As a rookie. Yeah, no, to be clear.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm just clarifying.
Yeah, no. I'm not trying to say Victor Wembanyama is going to be a bust. No. To be totally clear. I'm fascinated to see what that looks like. Like, is he going to be looking like Jabari Smith next year and like, comes on as this, I'm not saying exactly the same, but like early on as a thin, big, takes a while to get used to the game, plays better as the year goes on. Is he going to walk in and dominate? Is he going to be able to do these dribble moves on the perimeter against smaller guards? Like, we just haven't seen something like this before.
Where does he go? Because let's be honest, a lot of Jabari Smith Jr.'s struggles were that he's playing on a team that does not have a point guard.
Yes.
Right? Totally. And so whoever gets Wembanyama, like, if they have cap space, they should try, like, use that to get a point guard, even if it means drastically overpaying. Like, you have to put him on a roster where somebody's going to run the offense and get him shots.
Well, I think I hadn't really thought about it till today, but I talked to Lowry Marketing today for a story I'm working on about how great his season has been. And whether he ends up in Utah or not, I think the way Lowry has been used by Will Hardy in Utah is sort of instructive to what Victor's situation will be like, right? Obviously, Lowry, the first few years in the league, he's bounced around a couple of teams, has had some ups and downs, and Victor's obviously got a higher ceiling than Lowry Markkanen. But you look at what's happened in Utah, Will Hardy has taken Markkanen and put him in the optimal positions to succeed, right? Has found ways to run him, you know, put him in sets and put him in the best and most ideal ways for him to take advantage of a unique skill set. And I think to your point, McMahon, with a guy like Victor, with his talent, like if he gets put in a situation where he can really have somebody lift up what he can do, it's got a chance to be pretty special. If he gets put in a situation where he has to kind of, you know, fight against the tide, it's going to look different. So obviously for many reasons, the lottery next month is going to be awfully fascinating. And it just, every time I watch a highlight of this guy, I just think about how it might translate to the league. And we just haven't seen anything like it before.
By the way, I tell you what, if the Lakers would have kept THT, they'd definitely be a championship team. Listen, man, I can't call him too hyped Tal anymore. He's been hooping. He had 32 and 8 assists today. Like he's had a bunch of these 30-point high assist games. I don't know. I don't know what he is, but he's something.
Think what else they could have gotten for him instead of Patrick Beverley.
Listen, it's not a coincidence that all these guys have come to Utah and played really, really well this year. I'll say that. Will Hardy has done a hell of a job and has proven to be a pretty damn good asset that they picked up this year, along with all these draft picks that they've
Terrific performance by the Jazz today. Fought very hard and lost by one in Brooklyn. Terrific performance. It's exactly what they're
with Walker Kessler, the sheriff, going out with a concussion evaluation. So there might be a Howdy Partners jinx. You know, he was the first player guest on the Hit YouTube show.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'll have to check that out.
Well, follow me on Twitter, bro.
Are you verified? Are you verified?
I don't. I'd have to check at this point. I'm not sure. For $8 a month, I guarantee I sure as hell ain't.
That's right. All right. Thank you for listening to Hoop Collective Podcast. Thank you to Bontemps. Thank you, McMahon. Thank you to Jackson for staying up late. We will talk to you in a couple of days.
Adios, amigos.
Real quick, what's the easiest choice you can make? Window seat over middle? Taco Tuesday over salad? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/hoop, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/hoop now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/hoop.